Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For the first time in 2019, you got Dane Martinez, the spitting statistician, riding back in the saddle. My man, Mike Fluitt. We are going
to buddy.
Preview. Yeah, we're going to break down all these wild card games. It is a fun weekend of football ahead of us. It is so nice to hear you in 2019, Fluitt.
Thanks, buddy. Happy New Year, and it's a football Friday. Excited to be on with you on Fantasy Sports Today, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening on the app, on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio. So how was your New Year's? You were California bound.
I was. You know, I got to tell you something, and we shouldn't get too far into it, but I was at a, you know, little family affair party, and then we were going to go out, but we made a point for the kids to do a little champagne toast at, 9 o'clock, or what everyone out there calls East Coast New Year's, So we're tuned in and stuff, though. We're watching, like, Ryan Seacrest and all this stuff, and they just cut to a performance at, like, 8:59, and I was like, wait, is the ball going to drop or whatever?
I heard, and they missed it, yeah.
They missed it completely, severely upsetting a certain 7-year-old that I was chilling with. We were hyping it all up, and then there was no ball, right? And then she was all pissed off, and we, went off to our party.
I tried to stay up, and I was looking at the clock, and it was 11:50, and I was like, all right, I just got like 10 more minutes to go. I laid down and passed out, and woke up at 3:30 in the morning on my own couch and missed the whole thing. So they might have missed it, but it doesn't matter because I missed it anyway. But Happy New Year. I hope you had some fun out in Cali, and happy to have you back. So obviously we have big games on the docket. Broke down the Saturday games quite a bit yesterday. We can get back to them a little bit, a little bit later in this hour. But let me focus on the Sunday games because we haven't dived into them as much. You got the Los Angeles Chargers, your team, to make the Super
buddy.
Bowl.
Yeah, buddy.
They are coming across.
I hate their draw, though.
East Coast. Yeah, they got a 10 a.m. Local time, body clock time, playing against the best defense or one of the best defenses in the league. In the Ravens, so the 12-4 team has to go on the road in less than ideal circumstances.
Yep, absolutely true. Absolutely true. But here's the thing. You know I've been on the Chargers all season long, so I have to ride with them now. Do you want me to give my rationale for why I am still picking the Chargers, or do you want me to hold that until like we make our
picks at the end of the show?
I mean,
it's 44 degrees, 14-mile-an-hour winds. So a little windy, nothing that you can go crazy about, but, it's not – Los Angeles, that's for sure.
That is true. Here's what I think is the critical factor, though. And here's the kind of, tally mark in the Chargers side for me. These two teams played each other, week 16, I think it was, right? It was a 22-10 Ravens victory. That game to me was really, it was a 16-10 game until Antonio Gates, fumbled with like a minute and a half left to go. That was a kind of nip and tuck game. Here's what I think. I think it is very tough to beat the same team twice in, 3 or 4 weeks, right? We talk about that with division matchups, things of that nature. The other part that I think leans in the Chargers' favor is the Chargers, to me, are a more complete team, especially a more complete offense. If you are going to have to prepare for a team a second time within 3 or 4 weeks, I think the Ravens are easier to prepare for the second time because you know what Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards, you know what they bring to the table. Whereas in preparing for the Chargers, Dodgers, you still, you know, there's more, I think, derivatives, shall we say. There's more nuance. There's more different things that the Chargers can do than the Ravens can do, in my opinion. Add to that to the fact that we may see some of Hunter Henry. Add that to the fact that they will have a more complete running back room than they did in week 16, the last time they played. And I think what was a very close nip and tuck game can lean the Chargers' way.
I mean, if I were you, I'd be saying the same thing. So I can't blame you for saying it.
But seriously, though, you play Lamar Jackson, you see it once, I think then you have a better shot at it as opposed to facing the Chargers.
No, I agree, and I think Lamar Jackson, we've talked about this on various shows, the success is all well and good now, but next year is going to be a different story. People are going to figure out how to defend him. Now, can
it was the like
Chargers
the read option and RG3 a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, can the Chargers do it in what's effectively, let's see, 8, 9, it's like 2 weeks' time, really. It's just Saturday, December 22nd is when they played, so it's really only a couple of weeks ago, two weeks and a day to the time that they'll be playing.
Did Melvin Gordon play in that game?
I'm looking at it right now. I don't believe he did. No.
Okay, so that's another big
one.
No,
he did.
Yeah.
He did. 12 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown.
That was his first game back.
Catches for 13 yards. That's right. He was the first game back off the layoff. Now, I think you're right in saying that it was. So here's the interesting thing about this game. The Ravens did dominate. However, because of the style of game that they play, it was still 16-10, and the Chargers were driving. And with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, Antonio Gates fumbles a 62-yard fumble return. So think about that. They were, you know, they were driving.
They were in field goal range, right.
38-yard line. I mean, it's, you know, do the math. So they were driving. They were getting down there. They're going to have to score a touchdown down 16-10. You know, this game was 13. It was at halftime. It was 6-3 Chargers. 6-3 Ravens. Right. Then they scored, went ahead. It's basically 13-10, middle of the third. It's 16-10, beginning the fourth. The Ravens didn't do a tremendous amount on offense. Tucker kicked three field goals, and they had a 62-yard fumble return. So the only play, you remember, it was a beautiful catch and throw from Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews for the 68-yard touchdown. That was a big play, but that was really the entirety of their scoring offense was that one big play. So while the Ravens are a tough matchup because Lamar Jackson is difficult to defend in some ways and the defense is tough, they also do find themselves in a position of playing tight games pretty often. Mm-hmm. Last week against the Browns, Baker scared the hell out of them, obviously. Yep. He was about to knock them out of the playoffs. They stepped up and they get the win, but I just think because the offense isn't – because he doesn't have command of the full playbook yet, the offense isn't as dynamic as they'd want it to be.
Yep, that's exactly what I think it is, and you just mentioned it yourself, right? The playbook isn't as thick. Let's go that way, right? So if the playbook isn't as thick, it's easier to prepare for on the second time around. I think the point that you make that, you know, the Ravens really aren't going to blow many people out anyway, right? So you, Phillip Rivers will remain in kind of arm's distance, I think, regardless. And we saw when they were in Pittsburgh and they came back from 14 down. We saw when they were in Kansas City and, you know, they made some clutch plays. I mean, you know, Scotty Engel last hour said that, you know, Phillip Rivers maybe hasn't been that great of a playoff quarterback, but there is also all season long this narrative about, you know, how Phillip Rivers makes the bonehead interception, and he hasn't done that as much this year. So if you apply that to the playoffs, you know, Phillip Rivers in that offense is going to be live. I think they will be at worst within a score in the fourth quarter. I don't think the Ravens are going to get some kind of, you know, they're not a team that's built to run away and hide. They're a team that's built to punch you in the mouth and try to, you know, get you at a standing eight count by the fourth quarter. And I like the Chargers to be live and make that one big play, especially with a more healthy Melvin Gordon. You know, Hunter Henry maybe now being over the middle has to be respected a little bit. I think this sets up decently for the Chargers, and I think it's a good thing that they saw the Ravens in week 16.
Yeah, it's 2.5 point spread right now for the Ravens. I think I'd take the points just because I do see this game being pretty tight. Here's the Ravens game since their bye week in week 10 when they really started to turn it around. They were 4-5 team, remember, coming off a loss to the Steelers heading to their bye week. They beat the Bengals coming out of it 24-21.
Close game.
Then the Raiders, they beat 34-17. But that was before the Raiders had seen any light at the end of the tunnel. They beat the Falcons by 10. Pretty good win there. They lost to the Chiefs in overtime, which was, if there's a good loss, that is it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they beat 20-12, one-score game. The Chargers game we just detailed, and the Browns game last week, 26-24, Baker driving, four incomplete passes, game over. So they aren't blowing teams out. I do think that is a problem long-term in the playoffs. I really do think they have a shot to win this. And I don't love the 10 a.m. start for the Chargers, but right now I'm leaning towards taking the points, even though it's just a couple and a half points. You know, I told everybody a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, to wait on Seattle because the public money was going to come in on the Cowboys. As George rightly corrected me, the money is going to come in on the Cowboys. Will it come in further? I actually would take the risk of waiting. I think Seattle, you know, not to go down that wormhole, but I think Seattle has a real good shot to win that game, and I'd rather get an extra half a point or maybe even a full point as the public money comes in on teams like Dallas. But
FanDuel sportsbook, I have the Seahawks now as +3, and I have the Chargers at +3 right now, at least on the FanDuel sportsbook. So if you get that full field goal, I think those are juicy.
I'm with you. So maybe I head myself over to New Jersey today and plunk down.
Yeah, buddy. I'll take the path with you.
So, yeah. So the Chargers, on the flip side of things, to your point, they have Hunter Henry back. They have Melvin Gordon, who, look, he's just playing hurt at this point.
But so is like 80% of the NFL.
That's right. So, you know, kudos to him for sucking it up. Marshall Faulk on the Sunday morning show said 2 months ago that as a running back, you just got to figure it out. You're not going to be 100%. And he was saying it in critiquing, potentially, guys like Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette, who just couldn't seem to get back out there. Melvin Gordon missed some time, but you can tell he's out there and he's not 100%. But you have to like their complement of weapons. The Ravens do match up well against them, though. They really do limit teams at home. Opposing quarterbacks in Baltimore this year, averaging 216 yards passing and just 10 touchdowns to 7 interceptions in those 8 games. And frankly, Baker's week last week pushed all of those numbers up because he went for 376 and 3. He also threw the 3 picks, but they really have limited opposing quarterbacks. Now, you could say they played Buffalo in week 1, which I don't even remember who started for them in week 1 anymore. Was it Nate Peterman in week 1 or was it Josh Allen?
It was not Josh Allen because I remember they said they didn't want to run the kid out there early and get his life killed and get crushed. That was our narrative early in the season. I think it was Peterman, yeah.
So it's Nate Peterman, Case Keenum, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, who actually had a pretty good game. Cincinnati, at that point, I think it was still Dalton.
Yes.
Then Oakland, Derek Carr. And then Jameis had a terrible game. And then Baker last week. So a couple of good names, a couple of bad names. But nonetheless, they've limited people at home. So we shall see. I'm with you. I'll take the Chargers. I think they're the overall better team. I expect the Ravens' luck to run out either this week or next week. I'll just get in on the early side because I can get a couple of points here.
Yeah, two quick things on this one. It depends on what kind of format you're playing and stuff like that. I do think if you like Baltimore and you like them to play multiple games, Lamar Jackson could be a very interesting kind of like contrarian QB2 in some lineups if you think they're going to play multiple games and get a win. And what I'll also ask you, what kind of stones do you think it takes, Blewett, to go with Hunter Henry as a DFS play this week?
You know,
he's at the lowest price. He's at 4,900 on FanDuel.
Yeah, on the DFS side of things, I mean, can always take a shot. You know what I mean? It's just you're obviously taking a huge risk. I think I heard Scott say in the last hour it is expected to be somewhat limited as far as snaps are concerned. So at that point, you're hoping tight ends in the regular season when you got a bye week or your guy got hurt, that he just gets in the end zone there. You know, three or four catches and a score.
But outside of Ertz and Ebron this week, isn't that pretty much the case with everybody?
I was just about to say that. It's like it's no different necessarily than Blake Jarwin. And I know you made a call on Blake Jarwin, but, you know, three touchdowns just comes out of nowhere. It's a brilliant game. And if you plunk that guy down in DFS, you know, a little bit of luck never hurt anybody. So I can never really endorse a guy that's on a pitch count, but at the tight end position, it's always a little bit different simply because you're hoping against hope that he scores anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just as good of a dart as any others to throw in that situation. You know, if you're not paying up for Ertz or Ebron this week, and maybe to a lesser extent Trey Burton, you know, they're all darts to me.
Yeah. On DraftKings, just to give you a sense of what Daily Roto thinks of these guys, the projections are Ertz, Ebron, Burton, Jarwin, Andrews, Goddard. Then Griffin, Akins, Vinette, Gates, they have Hunter Henry all the way down at maybe 3 points on the week. So
I wonder what their algorithm states, though, you know, and if it looks at performance over the last 4 weeks where he had zero, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in general, I think to your point, there's two guys that you can rely on. Trey Burton is always a little bit of a wild card because of the way that he's utilized at times. And then Blake Jarwin coming off the game of his life.
Yeah.
So, I do want to talk Eagles-Bears. Why don't we just get started here and we could do it on the other side as well. So let's first talk about the spread here. I'm on Vegas Insider only because FanDuel is undergoing some sort of site
construction
right now.
We'll let I got it at 6.5.
Okay, cool. So it's 6 here, but nonetheless, and over at 41?
Yep, that's what I got.
Okay.
Lowest total
so,
of the week.
Yeah, it is the lowest total of the week. Obviously, the Bears' defense is a big part of that. So, you know, what storyline interests you? I think the Trubisky-Foles storylines on their own are pretty interesting.
My storyline for this one, you had half of it. For me, it's Trubisky-Nagy. First time in the playoffs quarterback, first year head coach. That's the kind of narrative to me. I am going to be fading for the most part, unless you're named Patty Mahomes. I am going to be fading quarterbacks their first time in the playoffs for the most part. I want to see what happens to the Bears and Trubisky and Nagy when the lights get bright. That's what I'm looking
at. Yeah, I think that's a pretty interesting one. There's a story this morning on Pro Football Talk about how he got off of social media to improve his mental health. I think people are taking shots at him, and I don't blame him. I don't think I'd be on there either for people to, you know, say anything they wanted about me at any point. I mean, people can actually do that to me now.
Yeah, people say all sorts of stuff about us all the time.
But I'm not famous, and I'm not a quarterback that has a rabid fan base. And a rabid opposing fan base is saying anything they want about me. So, you know, right now, I think the points are interesting, though, in this game. That's the thing. Getting almost a touchdown here, Dane.
It is. I think the Bears are going to blow them out, but we'll talk about it more on the other side of the break.
Cool. Come back. Foles versus Trubisky, just what everybody wanted. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Game time decisions.
This is going to be totally different. With a healthy Keenan Allen there, that changes the whole thing. Rivers can get the ball out quicker. He was holding the ball on way too long in that game, and the Ravens got to Phillip Rivers. They're going to have a game plan, and the Ravens could be in a lot of trouble in this game. And I got to give Lamar Jackson a little bit of credit with a wheel capper. He's starting to throw the ball. He had a really nice throw to his tight end there. Andrews, the kid from Oklahoma, in stride the last game.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
On FST, Mike and Dane getting it done. Talking Bears Eagles here in a second. But before I do that, I have to tell you that the dailyroto.com. Wait, is that the wrong? That's the wrong one. Mike blew it. Come on. If you're at the game or just got a gut feeling, no problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. So try it out today and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. Yeah, that's right, $1,000.
What?
It's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So I was looking at some stuff yesterday. NumberFire had an article out there. Jim Sonnes, who does some content for us as well, some of our hurry up stuff and NBA DFS items. He wrote a quick article, or he linked to an article about the best odds right now for the Super Bowl, and the Patriots right now are the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Not in that it's the shortest or the longest odds.
Best value.
Best value, right. And I'm with him because I could see myself putting down a little bit of money on the Pats because they have a relatively easy road.
Yeah,
who are they going to play? Like, who are they going to play in this next game? They'd play one of these teams that we've been spending time talking about, right? They'd have the Chargers-Ravens matchup.
Well, it depends. It depends on who wins Indy-Houston.
So they can have Indy as well.
If Houston wins, no, they can't have Indy. But here's the thing.
If Houston wins,
then it's automatically Houston. If Indy wins, then it's the Chargers-Ravens winner.
Right.
So it depends on kind of who you think is going to win that other game.
Sorry, I screwed that all up. But so Houston, L.A., or Baltimore, any of them going into New England, I'm taking New England. The Ravens have had historical success there. We talk about how Houston's built to potentially beat them because they can put pressure on Brady. Well, you know, I still would pick the Patriots to win, just to win the game, not covering or blowing out or anything. And we talked about this before. The Pats are building a team that can run the ball very effectively. And if they end up going to Kansas City, a team they've already beaten this year, and they run the ball all over them, which – Kansas City is terrible at. They're dead last in the league in run defense efficiency. Then they're in the Super Bowl already. And then anything can happen.
And, I mean, not for nothing, but, you know, the king over there last hour, he thinks the Chiefs could trip up in their first game as well. You know, first-year quarterback, all that stuff.
Of course.
And then the AFC Championship game is back, like, in its home ground where it always is, and that's at Gillette. So, you know, listen, and this is coming from a Jets fan, and you're a Steelers fan, you know, and, like, we would love nothing more than to see the Patriots, you know, defecate the mattress. But I think a lot of people are off them, and, you know, here it is in January. They have their bye, and you know, you still got to knock them out before you can
the bye was clutch.
The AFC. Absolutely.
That's what they needed. They needed the bye, and they got
it. That Eagles win against the Texans that week in week 16, I believe it was really huge, because if this was Houston in the 2 seed and New England in the 3 seed having to play 3 games with 2 of them potentially on the road in the AFC, I'd be singing a different tune.
No doubt. So that was clutch for them, and I do think right now, if I'm picking, I think I'm picking the Pats to get back there. I don't think it's a vintage Pats team, but you just start looking at the road, and I do think the Chiefs are going to get tripped up. I don't think the defense is good enough. It's particularly disconcerting that they're not that good against the run, efficiency-wise. So,
yeah. Over on FanDuel, the Pats are plus 600 right now to win it all. They are the fourth choice. Saints plus 230, Chiefs 470, and the Rams plus 500.
Yeah, so there you go. Rams pretty good choice there too. So anyway, let's talk Eagles Bears. Like you said in the previous segment, it was at 641. You think this is going to be a blowout? Explain why.
I just think listen, Nick Foles last year in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl had like the best two game effort that anybody like has ever seen. You know, his PFF grade was like 93, you know, that sort of thing. And this whole groundswell of how the Eagles are so much better with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, I just don't buy it. I just think he turns back into a pumpkin. I think these Bears defense is dominant. And I honestly think we could see something like a 24-7 kind of game. I don't think there's going to be as much fog as there was 20 years ago when these two teams played, but I think the Eagles may struggle to score, and I think the kind of narrative of Nick Foles comes crashing down this weekend.
So here's his games this year. He played, obviously, week one. He went 19 of 34 with an interception, 117 yards. He was terrible.
No good.
Against Atlanta. And then week two, he also played against Tampa. He was 35 of 48 with a touchdown, 98 rating. They lost to Tampa, 27-21. But since he came back, which is really what we care about, 24 of 31, interception. They beat the Rams. Then the monster game, 35 of 49, 471, 4 scores and a pick against Houston. Then they blew out Washington last week, 28 of 33, amazingly efficient, 221, 2 touchdowns and a pick. So his last three games.
None of those teams are at Chicago, though.
Have been pretty darn good. I know what you're getting at. Now, last year, we'll take a look at the game logs just because we need to do this since you're bashing Nick Foles. I've got to try and see if I can defend him. Where are we?
Last year's playoffs, but Nicky.
Is this right? Yeah, okay. It was week 13 or game number 13. 6 of 10, that must have been when he came
That's
in.
That's when he came in against the Rams. Yes.
Yeah.
That's when Wentz tore it in the middle of the game, yeah.
That's right. Then the next game, killed the Giants. 24 of 38, 237, 4 touchdowns. Then the Raiders, they won that one. 19 of 38, 163 and a score. Then the last game, he didn't do anything. They kneeled down basically against Dallas because they had it all locked up. He didn't do anything. 4 of 11 there. In the playoffs, 23 of 30 for 246, 26 of 33 for 352 and 3, and then 28 of 43 for 373 and 3, and the Super Bowl MVP to Nick Foles. So honestly, like in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game, full games he played last year, he had three outstanding games, and he had two okay games. And now this year, you know, he's in fuego again. So he does have a knack for running this offense. I do think Nick Foles is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I thought that even as he was getting bounced around from team to team, I couldn't quite understand how he didn't land in a spot when other guys are getting starts out there. You can pick a name out of a hat as to guys that were getting starts that didn't deserve it, whether you want to say it was Jay Cutler in Miami or Nate Peterman or bash whoever you want here, Sam Bradford. Like, Foles has been better than them consistently. So I would like to think that the train keeps rolling, and I actually, as well as Nagy has done this year, I'm going to put the check mark next to Doug Peterson. I just do think that the Bears will create enough issues for them offensively that I think the Bears win a tight game. I don't see the blowout. I don't think Nick Foles like falls apart in any way. There is a little bit of mojo surrounding the Eagles, but I am not going to get caught up in that hype. I'll just take the points, and I think the Bears move on, even though there's risk here with Nagy and Trubisky being first-time participants.
Yeah, you like the Bears to win, not cover. I like them to cover the spread at home. I mean, look at what the high-flying Rams offense did in Chicago. They scored 6 points. You know what I mean? And I think that's the kind of data point that I'm looking at. You know, all those games that Philly had last year in that playoff run, of course, with the exception of the Super Bowl, the Eagles were playing at home. I think it's going to be very different for them to go on the road into Chicago in that stadium where the Bears have not had a home playoff game for a long time. I think the Bears are going to be, you know, their fans are going to be ready to go. That defense is ready to go. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears' defense scores themselves. But I really do think that these Eagles are going to have trouble moving the ball. I just think the Bears, this is going to be the Bears' statement, because I do think they may get upended with the idea of the first-year coach and quarterback next weekend if they make it. The one thing I will say about the Eagles that I really like, I don't know if you've talked about this narrative at all, you know, it is a revenge game for the apple of Nick Foles' eye, Alshon Jeffrey.
Fair point.
Yeah, a little DFS. Maybe they scheme him up a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I should have checked the injury reports as well, but I don't want to see what, like, Eddie Jackson is going on now. So we'll check that as we go. But weather-wise, it's 38 degrees. That game starts at 3:40 local time, so it's going to be dark in the second half. It's going to be mostly dark throughout the whole game because...
And maybe the fog rolls in like it did 20 years ago, too.
It says it's going to be completely overcast as well.
There it is.
So... it will be, you know, it doesn't necessarily favor either team. I'm just telling you that it's going to be your cold kind of gray playoff game, 4:40 Eastern, Eagles at Bears. So, I'll take the points there. As far as guys that you like in these matchups, let me go to...
I love Alshon Jeffrey. Okay. 7,400 on FanDuel. Yeah, 7,400 on FanDuel. We've seen that when Nick Foles is in, you know, this narrative is now that, like, Carson Wentz targeted Zach Ertz and Nick Foles targets Alshon Jeffrey. I don't know how you can say that when Zach Ertz had over 110 catches this year, setting a new NFL record. But I do think that Nick Foles likes to put it up for his, you know, his stud X number one wide receiver and trust him to go up and get it. And I think Alshon really will. I think the Eagles score one touchdown, and it's to Alshon Jeffrey. But other than that, this is the Bears' defense statement game.
Yeah. You know, the one major injury that's been kicking around through all these games is T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
But we all know what happened last time. That guy was questionable, and he played at Houston. He
just was it 199?
That's right. Nine catches like for 199. I'm just going through all of them. Dontrell Inman and Zach Pascal are listed as questionable, expected to play. Ryan Grant is out right now. Ryan Kelly expected to return from that neck injury. Offensive line, Kiki Kuti expected to play. Let's see. Shaq Griffin has not practiced this week, but will play in Arlington for the Seattle Seahawks. Eddie Jackson, so this is the one guy we really wanted to drill down on. He was limited in practice, but told NFL Network Stacey Dales on Wednesday that he expects to play against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. So you'll get some more information on these. That's really the only one. Melvin Gordon is practicing in full, and Michael Bennett did not practice for the second straight day with a foot injury. However, I've read some things where he's expected to play as well, but we'll see how that plays out. DFS side of things. Allen Robinson is kind of interesting here because he's been banged up and he hasn't been particularly productive, but he's going against a Philly secondary that has stopped virtually no one this year, Dane. Even though they played a little bit better in recent weeks, it's more the offense playing better and keeping them off the field than the defensive backs improving greatly.
I think that's true. But if I was going to take a Bears wide receiver, and I'm looking over at FanDuel right now, Allen Robinson is at 6,500. The next Bears wide receiver is Taylor Gabriel at 5,000 at 1,500 less. You know what I mean? So, like, if I was going to take a Bears wide receiver, I think I'd, you know, go off the beaten path a little bit more because, to your point, it's not necessarily AR that you're doing it for, but the attacking the bad Philly secondary. So I might do it with a cheaper option.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find where my FanDuel lineup is right now. I put in a lineup. Yeah, I still got some work to do on it. I have Luck in at QB.
I love Luck. I love Luck. And I love him even in like formats where you have to have them play a couple games. I'm letting the cat out of the bag. I like the Colts to win this weekend. But I think Luck is a great play in some of those formats where you got to pick one player from each team.
I'm going to mess around with this right now, but the lineup I have in front of me is Andrew Luck at QB, Chris Carson and Zeke Elliott at running back because both teams are pretty run heavy. I'll take Baldwin and Gallup also in that game, but I went with a lower priced wide receivers in Taylor Gabriel and Dontrell Inman because I wanted to pay up at tight end and get Ertz in there. So I think there's some more work to do on this lineup, but at first glance, and I went with the Colts D, so I'm a little loaded up on Saturday's games, not so much on Sunday, but I think it's important for me to kind of pay up at tight end for this week for the reasons that we mentioned earlier. You really only got the two guys that you can trust, right. And I'll take the one guy that I trust the most in Ertz.
Yep, I like that a lot, too. The one thing, just, you know, very knee-jerk reaction to what you said. I don't know if I'd be on Baldwin, and I like Mike Williams this weekend. I like Mike Williams this weekend, and he is going $400 cheaper than Doug Baldwin. I think the Chargers may be in a nip-and-tuck game where they're kind of down, and I love the red zone option, the big body guy of Mike Williams. And that Seattle-Dallas game, I think, is just going to be so dominated by both teams trying to run the ball and play defense. I don't know about Baldwin. I really like Mike Williams this week.
Yeah, so like I said, I probably have a little bit more work to do, but I think the bones of it, having Luck at QB and Ertz at tight end and those two running backs. I feel pretty good about it. The wide receivers, Gabriel, I do think, like you were just talking about, I sort of do like him as an option there to get maybe get in the end zone, make a little something happen. He's a very inconsistent player from a statistical standpoint, but you know, maybe there's a little bit of something there. Inman was a kind of a punt on salary. So
Anthony Miller is practicing this week, right? Anthony Miller's practicing this week. He was a little banged up. He's got his shoulder, but yeah, full practice participant. So like I said, yeah, Gabriel or Miller could be interesting. I would go that way over Allen Robinson.
Okay, cool. So just one piece of news you heard in this Dan Strafford update. Josh McDaniels is allegedly enthusiastically interested. Yeah. That's a quote in the Browns' vacant head coaching job, according to Steve Durschuk of the Canton Repository. So I think Josh McDaniels, I don't know if he regrets not going to Indianapolis last year. I think there was probably, clearly there's been some conversations like you could be the head coach in waiting, but yeah. I don't blame, Belichick can't blame him for taking another shot. He had his one shot. It didn't go particularly well, and he wants another shot, and he's earned it. You know, he's been the offensive coordinator for a long time and had a lot of success. So you can attribute it to him or Tom Brady or Bill Belichick or whomever you want, but there's guys that have gotten head coaching jobs with far less impressive resumes than Josh McDaniels. So I think whether it's the Packers or it's the Browns or another team, I can see Josh McDaniels getting in the mix. The Arizona thing would be interesting to build it from the ground up, but I think he probably wants to take advantage of something that he knows is more of a known quantity, something like Aaron Rodgers, and to a lesser extent, Baker Mayfield. Baker played his tail off this year, and they're probably a lot of guys are looking at it and being like, cool, I get to build with that quarterback and some defensive talent. Let's do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have another take on this when we come back on the other side of the break.
All right, cool. We'll do the AFC. We'll do all the games. And Dane's hot take on Josh McDaniels after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The Morning After.
I like Seattle in this game. To me, I have a better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
I agree.
I have a better coach than Pete Carroll.
I definitely agree.
And there's a lot of equal powers that are clashing in this game. The defenses, the Cowboys are pretty one-dimensional. You got Cooper, but it's basically Zeke Elliott. And yes, Seattle want to run the football, but I'll take my chances with Russell Wilson extending plays more than I will with Dak Prescott.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
We're back on FST. Thanks for joining us this morning. Mike Blewett. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Blewett. Dean is on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. And the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out all of these new features. The lineup optimizer with custom settings and advanced grouping, customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities and simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, head-to-head and three-ball betting tools, and then PGA Pro Tip, subscriber chat, and more. So go to dailyroto.com, click on Go Premium, choose Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's dailyroto.com, click on Go Premium, click on Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's GOLF19 for those listening. So, all right, you had a hot take on Josh McDaniels. What is that?
Yeah, I don't know how hot it was. It's just that I couldn't get it in 15 seconds, you know. But here's what it is. You talked about him being the coach in waiting in New England, right?
Yeah.
And that was the case. Like, we all knew that that's probably what the deal was when he didn't take the Indy job or he kind of left them at the altar, whatever it was, you know. And he's been sought after for a while, you know, ever since he had his soiree head coaching in Denver. Here's my thing. I don't think being the next head coach of New England is going to be that great of a job, because that's going to be after Tom Brady is gone. And that's when the Pats are going to be kind of on the downturn of their cycle. You know, when the fall of Rome happens, you never want to be the guy who replaces the guy. You want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaces the guy. And when I look at opportunities in the NFL, it's really about the quarterback you have, the talent you have, and like what division you're in. And unfortunately, and yes, I acknowledge this is a Jets fan speaking, but in like 2 or 3 years when that's going to happen, when Belichick decides to walk away, I think that's going to be in sync with Tom Brady. I think that's going to be where the Jets have an ascending Sam Darnold. The Bills have a young quarterback in Josh Allen. And I just think the Patriots won't actually be in that great part of their cycle in 3 years.
I think that's totally reasonable. And after McDaniels turning down the job last year, I think he knows he's got a couple of opportunities here with younger quarterbacks, and Cleveland would be the best one. The owner's a little bit nuts, but Josh McDaniels is from Ohio, and he sees Baker playing the way he's playing. And I think a lot of people would want to build with him. There's a reason that Brown's job seems interesting for the first time in a long time. It's one reason. It's because Baker Mayfield is there. It's not because Miles Garrett is great, although it helps. And it helps to have other talent that they have there, but it's because of Baker and breaking the rookie touchdown record. That's the reason. So
I mentioned the division also, and you're going to have Big Ben walking away in the next year or two, whenever it is. The Bengals look like a mess to me. You know,
they are a mess.
You know, Yeah, Baltimore will be around. They're going to be that different kind of team that's always kind of around. But, you know, I think the division is another thing to look at.
There is a shot that Harbaugh leaves, too, though. Yeah. That's not a done deal. I know they announced it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing signed. So yep. It's possible.
So the division, I think, shapes up to have Cleveland kind of sitting pretty, you know, with a quarterback that everyone thinks can be a top quarterback in this league for a decade. You know, that's part of why I also think Cleveland is primed to be the most enticing opening of the eight.
Yeah. I can't really argue with the logic at all. You know, there's the Miami thing. I do think Adam Gase, and I've said this to you before on air, I do think there's something there with Adam Gase. I do think he is the type of guy that I'd maybe want to work with my young quarterback, whether it's in New York or Cleveland or Arizona. I think Gase lands one of those jobs. Or is the offensive coordinator in one of those places. But I do think he got caught in a difficult situation. He made the playoffs the first year, but was with integrity evaluating his roster and didn't like it and churned out a whole lot of players.
A ton, yeah.
Yeah, and in the next 2 years, he went 6-10 and then 7-9. It's not good because you're missing the playoffs both years, but honestly, I thought if they had stuck with him, there was some light at the end of the tunnel. Now, they also are in a difficult position because they don't really have a quarterback there. If Tannehill came back, he's just still, for them, likely a placeholder. Maybe it's better for Gase, frankly, in the long run that he got pushed out there. But I do think there's an opportunity there. As far as Cleveland is concerned, we've gone over that. The Jets, I think they have a long way to go, but they do have a key piece in the quarterback, and they have a big time safety, a younger safety that's really good, and they have a great defensive lineman who isn't much of a pass rusher, but he is a cornerstone of a defense in Leonard Williams. He's just got a very muted personality, and he's been on bad teams, so nobody really knows much about him, but he's a very good player. Beyond that, you know, some of those other openings, you can kind of take your pick as to what you like. Do you really like Denver? I don't know. Like, it's Case Keenum and the defense, which wasn't the defense that it should have been this year.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Browns and the Jets are the two top jobs, and I'm trying to be objective as a Jets fan to the points that you mentioned, right? My same point about what the AFC East will look like in 3 years holds true with the Jets. The Jets also have a ton of cap space, and, you know, the number three overall pick, who, to be quite honest, as a Jets fan, I want them to trade down and then draft, like, three offensive linemen, but yeah, I don't think the cupboard is bare. I don't think the cupboard is bare in New York. I think the Browns and the Jets are the two best jobs. And then I kind of go, the next tier to me is the Broncos, the Packers, and maybe even the Cardinals. But I think the Cleveland.
Tampa not looking like a great job.
I do not want any part of Tampa, you know, because they're saddled with the Jameis Winston thing. You never know. To me, the Dolphins and the Bucks. And I guess Cincy as well are the jobs that I think are going to be less desirable.
Okay, so let's do our picks because I've already said I'll take the points with Seattle. I think it could be a tight game, but I'll take the points. I might even wait a little bit to see if I can get it up to 2.5 or 3. But right now, I'll take the 2 points. Or you have it. You have FanDuel in front of you. That's the one I want to use.
It's at 3.
So
and the total 42.5.
Okay, I'll take Seattle. And, oh, man, 42.5 is so low.
Mm-hmm. But these guys are going to just, you know, time of possession. There's going to be fewer plays than most NFL games in this one.
I'll still take the over on this one, 24-21, something like that.
Okay. And you picked the first game as well yesterday or what have you, the Colts?
I have the Colts winning that one. I take the Colts. I will also go with the over there, which is what, at 48.5 or 49?
I see it at FanDuel right now has it as 48. But, so, yeah, you know, I'll we're in that same thing.
Yep.
So I'm with you on the overs on both ones because I told you I will never bet an under in the NFL again in 2018 or 19.
Yeah, I don't feel any level of confidence because you're picking the overs with me. You've said since like week 4
right,
you're not picking another
that's
under.
That's right.
Again.
So I'm just holding true. Yeah. But I'm with you on Indy. I actually think Indy is poised to potentially make a run. I think Andrew Luck, Frank Reich, and the crew are a very hot team that, you know, people were not paying attention to, and I think their defense is a little bit better than people think as well. I like the Colts to win that game outright. The Saturday night game, I think, is the toughest one of the weekend for me to pick. It's at 3. I would like it better at 2.5 because I am going to lean towards Dallas. I think both of these teams trying to do the same kind of thing, run the ball, play good defense. For me, Seattle is a much different team in Seattle versus on the road, and I am just literally leaning with the home field advantage. So give me Dallas minus the 2.5. If it went at the 3, I wouldn't touch this game. I would not touch this game at 3 because I do think it will be a nip and tuck affair. But I'll take the Dallas Cowboys outright.
All right. Well, we disagree. I don't think, you know, like I said, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But let's move on to the next one. I think we're both taking I less confidently take the Chargers than you do. I think I just want the points there. I'm leaning towards the under, which makes me think that Baltimore is going to win. So anyway, you like the Chargers and the over?
I do. I like the Chargers and the over, but I wouldn't touch the total because the Ravens defense is that good, and it was a 22-10 game last time. But I do think the Chargers get this, and especially if I'm getting 3 points.
All right, I'm going to waffle on this one. I just feel like the kicking game could be a big part of this too, and it's clearly
like
it's Justin Tucker over
Bagley.
So, man, you know what? I'll stick with my gut, which initially was the Chargers and the under. So I'll stick with that. And then the last one, I said I'll take the points. For me, this could be a tighter game. Philly could lose it, but I'll take the 6 points. And that's another one with a low total. And what do you have there on the over or the under? Well, you're taking the over.
41.
Yeah. So what is this, like 20 to 17, 20 to 14, something like that? Yeah, I'll do that. Nice cold game. I'll take the under on that one, but Philly covers and loses.
Give me the Bears on this one. I see it more like 27-10, 24-9, something like that. Give me the Bears. I think, like I said, they make a statement this weekend. The defense.
Look at that. We got our picks in, man, comfortably.
How about
that? Music's playing.
2019, new year, new you, Blewett.
That's right. I didn't have to text you offline to get my picks in. Congratulations on Dane winning the regular season title. I'll try to best him in the playoffs. Good luck on your lineups, everybody, and enjoy the games this weekend. It's playoff time. Morning After is next.